This is Daniel Brantley. I'm the chair of the meeting. I became chair when the chair, Christopher Milton, rotated off the board, off the committee, that is to say, his term expired. And his having been vice chair, I'm now chair, and my elevation to chair creates a vacancy. So that's one of the items we have to deal with today, which is the second item, electing a new vice chair. So I'd like to do this and say welcome back for those who've been with us all along. Mr. Abbott, I know you've been with us all the time. And others are probably too. I'm not certain who's here tonight. And I'm understanding that there are probably three new people have been invited to join us, and we've lost three people. I think it'd be a good thing if we were to find out who's present at this time, so we know how many people, you know, are here.
Well, I'll go ahead and start. I'm Eric Curl. I'm one of the new members. I'm here.
Good, good. Well, who represents her? What county? Our city? The city?
Okay. Savannah appointed me.
Okay, good, good. You probably are replacing Mr. Milton, I think. But that's good. Anyone else? So that's three of us.
Yes.
Abbott, myself, Mr. Kerr. Who else?
I'm also a new member, Armand Turner.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Who do you represent, sir?
It must be Pooler.
Pooler, that's good. That's been a vacancy for a long time. Anyone else?
For the record, this is Tony Abbott, and I'm from Chatham County, and I'm present.
Thank you, sir. We're told your presence. So we have four people, so we have a quorum.
Great.
So what we need to do now is to consider...
Dr. Brantley, this is Michael. I see Kay Kieber and Sean Minion as well. So can
are they also new members?
Yeah, can they introduce themselves?
Please do, please do.
Mr. Kieber or Mrs. Kieber? You need to unmute yourself.
Hi, my name's Sean Mannion, and I was just invited to this meeting. Asia sent me the information.
Oh, okay. So it's not a new member then.
Okay. Anyone else who's a new member?
There's a Kay Bieber.
Would you speak, Kay Bieber? Would you say something to us?
I don't see the chat. Where's the chat?
Pardon?
Hey, Joe, how are you? I'm in a meeting. Can I call you right now?
They appear to be muted.
Yeah, he's muted.
How can we unmute them? Do they have to do it themselves?
Yeah, he has to unmute himself.
Okay. There may be a button on your phone or device you... come to a song that says mute. You might want to tap that or do something to it to get it taken off. I know mine has a mute button, and I leave it alone, so I'm always on, so I try to be quiet, very quiet. But you could have the problem later maybe when some people are not muted and I'm still trying to talk. But right now we need to hear from people who are here. Anyone else want to say anything?
Sorry, this is Asia Herndon, and I just wanted to say I think Kay Bieber could possibly be a member of the public because with the participation plan survey, I did advertise that people from the public were welcome to come to the meetings tonight and also the ACAP meeting coming up and the core MPO board meeting coming up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. So we have at least five or six or maybe more members, so we do have a quorum. So what I need to do now is to ask you to think about the agenda you've seen. You all have agenda, I trust. Everyone has an agenda. If you have an agenda and have already read it, you're going to be voting on it soon. Anyone hasn't had a chance to look at the agenda for this meeting?
Mr. Chairman.
We're all Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Wilkes. Staff is asking to remove the fourth action item, approval of the draft FY 2022 Unified Planning Work Program, actually continuing that to the April meeting.
Oh, so we're taking that off the agenda then. So you heard
right.
that
we're making some modifications to the documents in consultation with Federal Highway Administration as of last week. And so this document isn't ready. It'll have to come back.
Okay. I would understand the importance of what you just said, that is to say, instead of six items for action, we only have five. We need now to deal with the first one, which is the agenda itself. All right. Has everyone had a chance to look at this agenda? And if you have, I'm going to ask you to vote on it. Anyone can say that they said, no, I've not received one. I haven't seen it. Now I don't know what it says. And I'm prepared to vote on it.
I've had a chance to review it. This is Eric Curl. Yes.
You have had, you said, right?
I have had, yes.
So have I. Mr. Abbott, you have, so have you, sir?
Yes, I've had a chance to review it.
Anyone else who has not reviewed it? I heard three people, including myself.
This is Armand Turner. I have reviewed it.
Good. Okay. So given that it's been put out there and people have had a chance to look at it, and some of us have, or maybe all of us have looked at it, I would like to entertain this time a motion to approve the agenda. Anyone want to make such a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Is Eric Curl?
Is there a second to that motion?
Armand Turner, I second the motion.
The motion has been made and properly seconded that we approve the agenda for this meeting. We were told that one item, item four, has been struck from the agenda. So we only have five items to deal with for action. Okay. Let's now vote on this. Any discussion about this, what the agenda itself? Any discussion? No discussion? I'm not hearing any. I now ask you to vote on it. So everyone in favor of the agenda with the one modification we've heard about, the document number item number four, would you vote yay? All in favor of the agenda?
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. Yay, yes, okay.
Yes.
However you want to, whatever your affirmation is, that doesn't matter to me. Anyone, I disapprove of the agenda. Anyone have problems with the agenda? I vote against the agenda. Anyone? Okay. No one, have not heard anyone voting against the agenda. The agenda's been approved. So let's move on to item two. These are action items. The minutes from our December 3rd meeting. Let me say this. I forgot to greet everyone. Happy New Year. We last spoke in December, and now this is February. So I trust everyone is having a good New Year. Well into it in any case. Has everyone seen the minutes from the last meeting? Anyone's not seen the minutes? Assuming everyone has seen the minutes, we can entertain a motion to adopt the minutes.
A motion to adopt.
Okay, who made that motion?
That's Eric Curl.
Thank you, Mr. Curl. Is there a second to the motion, Mr. Curl's motion?
Armand Turner, I second the motion.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so we have the motion been properly moved and seconded that we adopt the minutes from our December 3rd, 2020 meeting. Anyone want to discuss that? Anybody want to correct on the minutes, or you want to talk about the minutes anyway before we vote on it? This is the opportunity to do that. I'm not hearing anyone. Go ahead, I'm listening. Someone want to talk about the minutes? No? Yes? So let's now vote on the minutes. All those in favor would say aye or yay or indicate your affirmation in whatever way you want to, as you can hear it.
Aye.
Aye.
Tony Abbott.
Okay, that's one. Okay, whatever. Okay, so we got the IAEA, whatever. Anyone opposed to the agenda? Not the agenda, but the minutes, I'm sorry. Anyone voting against the minutes? Okay, so no one is voting against it, so the minutes have carried, so we have adopted the minutes from our December 2000 meeting. Now, moving on to item three. Now, let me explain something here. You said, well, why item three calls for the election of a vice chair. As I said earlier, the chair was Christopher Milton, his attorney. He and two other people, as I understand it, term expired. So they no longer are serving on the board. As vice chair, I became chair. So my position as vice chair is now vacant. So we need to choose a vice chair. It may be appropriate, since we have new members of the board, that we might all introduce ourselves to each other so we get a sense of who is present, and not a lengthy introduction, but just say something about yourself to people. When someone says, I nominate myself, or someone nominates someone, you know who they're talking about, because some of us are strangers to each other. Is that a good way to approach this? People saying something about themselves? Let me start with myself. I'm a retired educator. I was a college professor for some years. I'm a political scientist by training. I've served on several boards. I was a chair of the library board, among others. That's my introduction to myself. Anyone else want to tell us who you are so when people vote on you, they will know who they're voting for?
Sure, I can go. This is Armand Turner. I work for a nonprofit here called Healthy Savannah, as well as the YMCA of Coastal Georgia. I help oversee a grant called Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health, focusing on improving physical activity for the low-wealth African-American population here in Chatham County. I've been in Georgia for 5 years now and in the Pooler Savannah area for 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Tony Abbott. I'm a local attorney and businessman, and I've been on the CAC for probably 10 years. I'm not sure, maybe more, maybe 15. And I'm a native Savannian, and I live in the county. I'm an appointee of the county. Thank you.
And I'm Eric Curl. I work as a communications manager for Chatham Area Transit. I've lived in Savannah for 20 years. I previously worked up until about 2 years ago with the Savannah Morning News as a reporter, and I'm originally from Maryland.
Good. Anyone else will say something about themselves? It's not a campaign speech, really, so much as just people not having seen you, not knowing you, need to know something about you. All of you, actually. What I'd like to say now is that the duties of vice chair, I've served that capacity, so I can tell you something about that, is very simple. You just, like the White President of the United States, you're just there in case you're needed. You have no duties except to step in if the chair is not there, or the chair resigns, or, you know, how they need to move up. So it's very pretty simple, and it's not really taxing or very demanding, actually. At this time, having been told the duties of the chair. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Yes.
Hi, this is Alicia with the MPO. I can actually read from the bylaws what the duties and responsibilities are.
Please read them.
Absolutely. One full term of membership will consist of two fiscal years, and duties and responsibilities include the CAC functions as a public information and involvement committee. Two, the CAC provides a forum to obtain public views on transportation issues and problems, reviews transportation reports and recommendations to ensure that local goals are considered, and directs issues of public concern to the attention of the core MPO board. And three, the core MPO staff, in collaboration with the CAC, shall develop and maintain a comprehensive participation plan as an integral part of the transportation planning process. And officers shall be elected for one term of one fiscal year.
Okay. Any questions about anything she said or anything I said about the chair's responsibilities? Any questions? I'm not the chair, but vice chair. At this time, let us consider the election of the chair, vice chair. Anyone want to nominate themselves or nominate somebody else?
I nominate Armand Turner.
Okay. Now, I want to preface one thing. The person nominated has to be a member of the board, okay? That committee, not a visitor, not a member of the public in general. You understand that, right?
Right.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Anyone to second that nomination?
I second.
Good. Any other nominations? To another nomination.
Mr. Chairman, who did the nominating?
Eric Curl did the nomination for Mr. Turner.
Who did the seconding?
Brent Bice.
Okay, you got that? Second and then, okay. Since we have someone, anyone else who wants to be considered for chair, we have one person. Anyone else want to be considered? Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, Brent still the city's representative?
I don't know. Could you tell us that?
Brent, your term actually has come off. The city did some nominations and changed. So actively, you had been replaced either by Eric or Armand already. So we've got to get somebody else to second this nomination.
Okay. You heard that?
Okay. I didn't know that was the case.
We get a second, another seconding for that nomination. The person did not eligible to do so.
Mr. Chairman, Tony Abbott. Point of order. I'd like to second the nomination.
Thank you. Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. This nomination. Anyone else want to nominate someone before we start voting? Are there other nominations? Not hearing other nominations. Let us vote on the one nominee person who's been nominated. Everyone in favor, say yes. So give me a special confirmation. Affirmative. Yes,
aye.
Whatever. Aye, okay. Anyone else?
That's yes, one vote. Tony Abbott, yes.
Two. Any other votes?
Am I allowed to vote on myself?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you can vote.
Aye.
Two to three. Anyone else want to vote? Okay. Now, as I said, everyone has to have to vote on these things. The question is, you have the opportunity to vote. And then we have three people who have properly, a nomination properly moved and seconded, consider this. So I imagine, sir, you have been elected vice chair of the committee.
Thank you.
As a former vice chair, I want to say one thing to you. Come to the meetings, because you never know when a chair is going to be sick or a chair will be late. And without a vice chair and no chair, you can't have a meeting. So you're a central clog in this piece of this machinery. That having been said, we can move on to item three, title six, anticipation plan update endorsement. So staff's going to talk to us about title six, and a participation plan update endorsement. They won't want to ask us to endorse it. You look at the presentation from the staff.
Yes, that's me. Can I share my screen?
Go ahead. I can't see it myself, but for those who can, I'm sure they appreciate it.
Okay. There we go. And I'm just turning on my camera just because I know there's some new faces in here, and we also have a member of the public. So just to be transparent so people can put a face to the name and know who's working on some of this stuff, I wanted to share my screen and share my camera. Okay, can everyone see the screen?
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can move this down so I can go to the next. All right, can everyone see this presentation here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just gonna keep it short. So we're finally coming to the end of the participation plan and Title VI plan update. And so essentially what we're asking now is for the CAC to endorse this plan or both of these plans. So just a little background or reminder on what we did with this plan. We added new outreach methods that can be conducted at a distance because of COVID-19. We added new methods to inform the public, such as using infographics and videos to help people understand the core MPO. We created more accessible outreach methods for people with disabilities. And we also created a survey to understand the demographic makeup of the core MPO. And we have just completed the 45-day public comment and review period, which also included a survey. And I'm excited to say that that survey got 27 responses, which is really cool. And if you guys want me to discuss the results of that survey, I'm happy to do that. And so now we're essentially at endorsing the plan so it can then be adopted by the core MPO on the 24th.
That's your report. Thank you. Everyone heard the report. Any questions for her?
I think we advertised for a public hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, since we have some new members, I know that Amar has been attending our meetings previously. Eric is kind of new. I think Tony has been here for a while. So you might just have given a little bit introduction about what Title VI plan is, what participation plan is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so our Title VI plan is essentially how the core MPO strives to achieve equality and equity and how we try to avoid discriminating based on demographic characteristics such as gender, race, age, or disability status and other characteristics. And the participation plan is specifically how we want to conduct public outreach within the core MPO. So we updated these plans because of COVID-19, and that was because we couldn't do in-person meetings anymore. So we had to establish some new methods to engage the public and spread information without having these in-person meetings. And if you would like to read the plan and read what changed, it's also on the agenda. It's linked to the agenda. So in the plan, we basically updated our goals and strategies, and we included new strategies that we want to implement, such as using social media, using infographics and videos to help people understand the core MPO, and then also creating accessible outreach methods so that people with disabilities or people who do not have internet can also have access to core MPO information. And we also conducted a 45-day public comment and review period, which included a survey. And from reviewing those survey results, the majority of people were agreed with the plan and the goals. And among those who agreed, there are also a lot of people that liked what it said on paper, but really want us to implement this. So by endorsing this plan, we can really get the ball rolling on implementing this and start putting these materials such as infographics and videos out there so the public can get more involved.
I have a question.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. I have a question. At the last meeting, I think it was December, I read the issue, which I was meant to do, if I didn't. Concerning marketing, how do you get people to, you know, put the information that you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they don't all come to meetings. So what marketing are you doing? I mean, how do you promote this?
So the best way that we actually marketed this meeting was actually through the survey. So through the survey, I allowed people to give the opportunity to give us their contact information, and I was able to directly email them the links to these meetings. So that's how we got more people to kind of come to these meetings. And then to spread the survey, I contacted people with CGIC, Healthy Savannah. I know I had a discussion over email with Armand on how to get the survey out there. And so that's how we were able to get responses in as well. So definitely connecting with a lot of the groups here, neighborhood leaders, and utilizing surveys was extremely helpful in increasing public outreach.
We also advertised on the Savannah Morning News and the Savannah Tribune.
Any radio?
Radio is included in the local contact, local news media contact list.
Okay, okay, good. Okay, the staff has asked us to endorse the Title VI, I'm sorry, and a participation plan that I've updated, so it's been revised.
Mr. Chairman, we advertised for a public hearing, so we need to open a public hearing.
Let's open this meeting to public hearing. Anyone present, let's hook up with this meeting, who wants to say something? This is your time. This is for the public. This is public hearing phase. So say whatever you want to say. Anyone have anything to say? You have questions to ask, comments to make, points of view to express, corrections to offer. I'm not hearing the public right now. So so we thank the always welcome up.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Sorry, my name is Sean Mannion, just a public attendee. Okay. My question's for Asia. Asia, I want to double check to make sure that I fully understand regarding item number 3. Is this in reference to the 2040 plan?
No. So the 2040 plan is different from the participation plan.
Okay. So then let me ask a different question, because I sit on a couple of other commissions as well. One actually part of the MPC. So that actually kind of goes along part of the 2040 survey, so on and so forth, kind of goes along with the participation plan and getting the word out, right? And mm-hmm. I believe I had emailed you separately regarding even just the survey for the 2040 plan, where there was a huge disconnect from the public as to when the survey was entered. I remember when I had attended that call back in a few weeks ago, Pooler had a really high response rate, but Savannah had a very low response rate. I think Pooler almost doubled the number of respondents to Savannah, and a lot of different residents of Savannah had no idea that the survey was actually conducted. Mm-hmm. And again, I even sit on a MPC board, so I was very concerned. And even at that most recent meeting on February, whatever the first Thursday in February is, a lot of those other members also were like, hey, we never even received this survey as well to fill out. So I'm trying to understand what exactly are the methods that is being used to reach out. I know you mentioned radio, Savannah Morning News, but a lot of the outreach is not actually getting to the recipients and those that are actually intended for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually generally that's something that's a problem when it comes to putting out surveys and doing public outreach. And as someone who comes from a social science background, it is really hard, like, what is the best way to get these surveys out? So what we did with Plan 2040, so I'm thinking you're talking about the comprehensive plan and Plan 2040. So I think Pooler, one of the reasons why the response rate was so high in Pooler was due to putting the link to the survey on water bills. So that was really helpful in driving up participation within Pooler. But we actually did have social media as well. We did news articles, news publications. We did multiple emails. We did outreach events where we went out into the community, like Forsyth Park and everything. And so, unfortunately, there's no way to get every single person, but we did employ multiple ways to kind of come and take the survey. And again, that's why we actually reopened it, because when people had their concerns like, hey, I didn't get the survey, we actually reopened it so we can get more opinions. And now a higher share of people from Savannah have actually taken that survey now. So currently, like, the best way to kind of fill those gaps is to have people like you from the public tell us like, hey, I didn't receive the survey and I've identified a gap, and then we can fill that gap and then get more people to give their input.
Right. And I know some of the my surrounding neighborhood association presidents were pretty upset that they never received that particular notification about the survey. Mm-hmm. One very close neighborhood association president had even said, like, she went ballistic, for lack of a better term, when the survey was reopened, on posting it to every single location available. And mm-hmm. I did the exact same thing as well, because no offense to anybody from Pooler, but Savannah is more than double your population. And it was almost as if it was only a Pooler centric survey for the 2040 plan. So I'm just trying to make sure that I fully understand what the process is to actually get the word out. Mm-hmm. Yes, going to Forsyth Park is great, but clearly a lot of the people in Savannah weren't even aware, even members of the MPC boards, which I believe are like 13 different boards, weren't even aware the survey had existed. So there, maybe the methods aren't necessarily the best in reaching and outreaching the outreach to the public. Mm-hmm. That's just my, as a public citizen, that's just my comment.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to your comment about it being Pooler centric. So within SurveyMonkey, you're actually able to look at jurisdictions separately. So we're actually able to see if there are any differences between Pooler or Savannah or Garden City. And it allows us to look at the data without it skewing in one direction. So we can look at it holistically and see, you know, in total, what everyone who has responded to the survey, you know, see how they answer it. But then we can also look at each jurisdiction separately, just to ensure that there's no skewing of the data in one direction or toward one jurisdiction. But
definitely, just as a point of clarification about that statement, Asia, what I meant by Pooler centric is, just like with any survey, if you have 100 people, 60 people from one area, let's say 100 people in Chatham County were sent the survey and 100 people responded, if 60 people of those were Pooler, 20 people were from Savannah, then 20 people were from unincorporated Chatham County, those 60 people from Pooler would obviously get more, it would be, the results would be centered on what Pooler wanted, because they were 60% of the respondents as opposed to the remaining 40%. That's what I meant. I'm not saying the decisions were based off of, hey, this is what Pooler wants, right? I'm saying the results were heavily in favor of Pooler as opposed to Savannah, just because of the respondents. That's what I meant by Pooler centric.
Yeah, and that's why we're ensuring that there's no skewing of the data in that way, by looking at each jurisdiction separately as well as together, to see if there are any differences and to ensure that everyone is every jurisdiction's results are treated equally.
Can I just add? This is Eric. Sure. Oh, can I just add that? I'm sorry. I just wanted to add that Ms. Helm did from the MPC did send Chatham Area Transit the survey to make sure we could share it with our riders through our printed and our electronic newsletter, as well as posted on our social media site. So we did get it out to our customers that way as well.
Any other questions? Okay, so the staff has made a proposal. They want us to endorse this. There are challenges or problems, but they've been explaining the way, or at least TIP has been made to do that. At this time, we might entertain a motion to adopt this, let us say endorse this, these things that the staff has brought to our attention. Does anyone want to make a motion of that effect?
Mr. Chairman, Tony Abbott, so moved. Right.
Okay. Anyone want to, go ahead. Any seconding?
I'll second, Eric Curl.
Okay. We have a motion to endorse the staff recommendation. It's been properly moved and seconded. We've discussed any further discussion of this. Any time to discuss it. Any discussion? Not hearing anyone wanting to discuss it. Let us now vote on it. All those in favor of endorsing the staff recommendation, say aye or yay or whatever, as long as we express affirmative.
Aye.
Tony Abbott, aye.
Okay. Any nays? Anyone in opposition to this proposal? Not hearing any opposition, the motion carries that we endorse item 3, the title 6 and participation plan update recommendation. We endorse that. So it goes on to the board, some bigger board. Okay. Okay. Now, number 4 was taken off the off. Mark, let me ask you a question. You said we'll be seeing this again, right? We're not dealing with that today, but when will it be at the next meeting, or when will we probably see this again? Is Mark there? Hello?
Is he muted? Okay.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to know when we scratch it off, but promised that it'll come back. I just want to know some idea when that might be.
Probably in April.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Item 5, revision to fiscal year 2018 to 2021 TIP. Will someone speak to some staff member talk about that?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to talk about it, but I'm I can show the report.
Go ahead.
Share my screen.
You're sharing it with us, okay.
Okay. So basically, since we have some new members, so I'll just give a general introduction.
Please do.
For the MPO, we are required to produce several major documents. One major document is the long-range transportation plan. And currently, our long-range transportation plan is called 2045, Mobility 2045. And it covers fiscal 2021 until 2045. So the long-range transportation plan it provides the vision and project list for the future years, for the next 25 years. And it includes probably highway, transit, and multimodal projects, probably. It's pretty comprehensive list. And then out of that, the highest priority of those projects are moving into something, the short-range programming document is called the Transportation Improvement Program. So the Transportation Improvement Program covers 4 years. So for example, if you have 100 projects in the long-range transportation plan, you might only be able to move 10 highest priority projects to the TIP because of the funding constraints. Because MTP and long-range plan and the TIP, Transportation Improvement Program, both have to be financially constrained. So with how much money we have, and we have to program projects based on how much money that is available. We actually adopted the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP in December, but normally the TIP doesn't become official until the governor signs off on the statewide transportation improvement program, the STIP. The STIP references the MPO's adopted TIP. So as of now, the governor hasn't signed off on the STIP yet. So that means the plan that we adopted back in December is not official yet. So, but we are still in fiscal year 2021. There got to be a programming document that guides the project development in fiscal 2021. So until that new TIP is official, and our current one, which covers fiscal 2018 to 2021, 2018 to 2021 TIP is still the guiding programming document. It's still the official guiding programming document. So in this TIP, the fiscal year 2021, the sum of the revenues and then the project programming information and project cost information a little bit different from what we adopted back in December. So this amendment is basically straighten out whatever in the current TIP based on what we adopted in December. So if you just go back, so I can show you, I will just give one example. So for example, in the current TIP, the revenue for Z230 funds is $7.3 million. But in the new TIP, the revenue become $5.58 million. So we got a reduced revenue. That means we can program fewer projects. So basically, this document, it just straighten up the discrepancies between these two TIPs and making whatever information in the current TIP to match what we adopted back in December. For example, the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, currently the construction phase is in program in fiscal year 2021, but we know the city of Savannah is not going to make it in fiscal year 2021. So in the new TIP, we move the construction phase to fiscal year 2022 based on the development status. So this is just one example. And here is I'm just going through this. And you can see these are just summarized what project changes have been made so that these two tips can be consistent for fiscal year 2021. I can go over these details, but I mean, it's just a tedious task of straighten up. So if you have any more questions, and I would be glad to answer them. But other than that, it's matching whatever we adopted in December.
Mr. Chairman, thank Tony Abbott here.
Go ahead.
May I be recognized?
You are recognized. Go ahead.
Thank you. After Rakota's presentation, I would like to offer a motion to approve if it's appropriate at this time. Otherwise, we can continue in further discussion.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor. Anyone second the motion? That we support the staff recommendation to the
Okay.
The motion moved and seconded. Let's go to vote. All those in favor, say aye, or in some way indicate your support for this idea.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed to it? Nay or whatever? Okay. I've only heard support for the motion, nothing against the motion, so the motion carries. We're now down to item six.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Item six is the 2045 long range transportation plan that I just mentioned. So this plan is divided into different sections. The physically constrained plan is called Mobility 2045, but we also have a vision list. That means we only have certain amount of money, and those projects that we cannot accommodate in the financial constraint part, we list them in the vision plan. So the needs are there. It's just we don't have the money for those projects yet. Mm-hmm. So today we are just making amendments to the vision plan. So basically, City of Pooler requested two projects to be added to the vision plan. One is the Pine Barren Road improvements project, and then another one is South Rogers Street improvements. Because the City of Pooler, they include these two projects into their capital improvement program, and they are expecting to include these two projects into the TISBLOST that will be voted on hopefully in autumn, in the fall of this year. So if these two projects get TISBLOST funds, they might be considered have additional funds. So that means they probably can be moved into the fiscally constrained plan. So basically, Pooler is making the proposal to add these two projects into the vision plan in the expectation that they might be able to move into the financially constrained plan. And if they're included in there, and they will be eligible for federal funding in the future. So these two projects, actually both are functionally classified as minor collectors above, so they're eligible for federal dollars. So Pooler was just the, like paving the way for their projects to receive future federal dollars. So for this amendment, since many other projects will be included in the TSPLOS as well, the staff recommendation is that let's just reach out to the other municipalities, Pooler, Garden City, City of Savannah, unincorporated Chatham County, Thunderbolt, Tybee, to see, and then we will have like full list of those projects to be identified for the TSPLOS. And we will just do the amendment in April so that we can amend all those projects in the vision plan, one all at once, so we don't have to like do them individually one by one. So even if this request is coming from Pooler for two projects, and we decide that we want to have a full list, and then we will just have the full list in April. So the staff recommendation is just to ask for the CEC to just endorse the staff to reach out to the other municipalities so that we can compile that full list.
Question, Makota, Tony Abbott.
Yes.
Are we voting for a list of projects?
No, not at this meeting. In April, we will have a full list.
Okay. Okay.
But you are asking us to vote to do what?
I just endorse the staff recommendation. I will read the recommendation. I can read the recommendation. Since the timing of the requested amendments is a strategic move based upon the expectation of an upcoming TSPLOS in the near future, there is a likelihood that additional amendment requests will be forthcoming from other jurisdictions within the Quampio planning area. MPO staff is proposing to canvass the local jurisdictions to identify other potential MTP amendment requests that may result from any anticipated future TSPLOS, and present the full list of projects for consideration at the next meeting in the April of 2021. So we'll just ask the TCC to endorse this recommendation.
Well, Makota, Tony Abbott again. Right. It sounds to me like you've got a certain list of projects from some jurisdictions, and you're just keeping the record open to see if other jurisdictions, member jurisdictions, add their projects?
Yes, because—
next question. On Savannah's projects, is the I-16 flyover elimination on the proposed list for the TSPLOS?
We don't know. We don't know what the City of Savannah has currently. Okay. So we only know that Pooler has these two projects.
So we're in no way endorsing any particular projects.
No.
Okay.
No. With that understanding, anyone want to make a motion that we approve the staff's recommendation?
So moved. This is Eric Curl.
Is there a second?
Armand Turner, I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we approve the staff recommendation, because I think we'll be revisited later on. All those in favor would say aye, or some way affirm their— express a firm position on this matter.
Can you hear aye. Something?
Aye. Anyone else support it? Just one person?
Aye, Armand Turner.
Okay. So let's do it another way. Anyone opposed to it? Okay. So those members who voted are in favor of supporting the staff recommendation. So it's been it is carried. Thank you very much. Now, we're finished with now action items. So there's nothing else for us to vote on as such. We will be given under status reports and agency reports and other business information from the staff on develop and also other non-gender information for us. So they may have plenty of information to share with us. So this is a sharing of information on the part of staff with us, and we are keeping the loop. But this is not for us to vote on, okay? So let's proceed to item 3. Status report. Will you give us a status report on the fiscal year 2020 federal certification review? Someone speak to that, please. Someone on the staff.
Mark?
Tell us about it.
Mark, are you unmuted? Okay.
He doesn't show him as being muted.
Well, he's, I don't know what it's doing right now. But I can just step in and talk about it. We actually talked about, we have to go through the federal certification review because we are a transportation management area. That means we are an MPO with a population of more than 200,000. So we have to go through the federal certification review every 4 years. So our last one was in 2017. And this year, we started, we actually talked about this several times. We started in November, so we had a kickoff meeting, and we got the questionnaire sent to Federal Highway Administration and the FTA. And then they did the desk review, desk audit. And then on January the 19th and the 20th, we actually had a site visit, the virtual site visit. So at the end of the site visit, we were told that we would have several commendations that something that we did pretty well. And then there will be 17 recommendations for us to improve our transportation planning process. We didn't receive any corrective actions. So supposedly, the Federal Highway Administration is going to send us the report, the federal certification report, at the end of March. So I think in April, you probably will have the full report. At this time, they're still compiling that report and going through the FTA and FHWA team. So I think we did pretty well, actually, for the certification review. It just we want to see what specific recommendations they will have. There might be some discrepancies between what they told us at the preliminary findings meeting and then what they actually put in the final report. But so far, we got some accommodations and some recommendations. Now Mark is back online, so.
Anyone have any questions for her? Thanks for sharing that information with us. Under agency report, there's nothing there. Under other business, item 8, you want to say something about infographics? Anyone?
Yep, that is me. Can I share my screen again?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So again, as part of the participation plan update, we want to start releasing infographics so we can start informing people on what an MPO actually is and what is the core MPO and what exactly do we do. So on this agenda, I've put two infographics that I've created so far. So this one is just a general what is an MPO, and then the second one is what is the core MPO, which is a short description of what the organization is and what areas do we preside over, and then also what are our board and committees. So I'm hoping to put out more soon and then start posting them to the website and kind of spreading the word so people can kind of understand what this organization is.
Hey, Asia.
Yes.
I think it's great that you all are doing this. And to my knowledge, MPO either already has one or is creating a social media page, correct, for all of the platforms?
So we currently do not have a social media page.
Okay.
Are you working on one?
So in terms of a social media page, we would have to get permission to create one. So right now we are advertising through some of our other social media pages within the MPC, but we don't have a core MPO specific one, but it is one that we're hoping to get in the future.
That'd be awesome. And my last comment is the infographics look kind of good, but they also look a little wordy and maybe too much wordy for social media.
Yeah, that's kind of the balance that I'm trying to strike, because these topics are kind of complicated. And so it's like, how much do you write to the point where people understand, or, you know, you try to shorten it, but then it kind of obscures what it actually is. So that's why I've also created kind of five-page informational sheets that aren't linked to this agenda, but I can send them to you. And I think I might have actually sent an informational sheet to you where it goes into a little more depth. So if people kind of, you know, see the images or the infographics and they want to know more information, they can go into like the longer documents. But right now, these are just kind of some drafts of some ideas we have, but we can definitely find ways to shorten it or make it more tech savvy.
Gotcha. Thank you so much,
Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Tony, I'd like to get input.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a comment from Asia.
Yes.
I like your graphics. It looks like it's a sort of across the board generic sort of information group response, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Is there any local aspects that you would include at this point, including two that I can think of? And that is, one would be not just local, and that is the include the possible readjustment of traffic flows to decrease due to COVID-induced work from home. And number two, extra traffic specifically in the West Chatham on up through, Bryan, Effingham on major arteries, especially I-16, due to the increased port traffic or increased traffic, truck traffic due to the port expansion.
Yeah, so we are looking to go a little bit more specific with our infographics, but we're just starting out with something like more general and broad, just kind of explaining what the core MPO is and what an MPO is before we get into like the nitty gritty details or the more specific area projects and issues that are going on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Number nine, animation for core MPO introduction. So is that, again, you're introducing us to MPO through animation? Is that what that is about? What is this about?
Alicia is going to give the...
Go ahead. Please give it.
We have got a video that I'm going to try to play.
Alicia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here working on technical aspect of this.
Okay, a technical glitch. Okay. We all know what those are.
Sorry about that. All my audio failed.
So they wouldn't.
I tried the wired ones, the wireless one, none of them worked. My computer said it couldn't find the speaker. Yeah. Anyway, you covered it, so thank you.
Okay.
Is that Mark?
Yeah, yes, had some difficulty, technical difficulty, so that's why he wasn't able to talk.
I understand if you say that, yes, okay. Does he want to add anything to what you said about what he was going to report on?
No, he said he's okay with my report.
He's okay, that's good. I think he did a good job. Okay. So anyone going to talk about this animation? Alicia, is she there?
She's
there. Take your time.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Okay.
We are working on getting the video played for you. Sorry for the delay.
No pause needed. I'd like to say at this time that I'd like to thank, this comes to me personally, but, you know, because I've been other organizations, this staff, in terms of the professionalism, you do good work. You do good work. So if you have a hiccup every now and then, who doesn't? But all the time, not some of the time, but all the time, you do good work, as far as I can see. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have the video ready for you guys.
Okay, let's see it.
Yeah, we don't have the voice over yet, so we just have the silent one.
Maybe tell us what you're seeing.
Just like the infographics, these animated videos are high level and with the intent of hopefully being more engaging with people, adding visual aspects to it. We also have the ability to do voiceover. So those who may have difficulty seeing, they can also hear it. And these videos can also be translated into dozens of different languages, allowing us to reach a larger audience of people. So we're just kind of hoping to be more engaging with people by providing different ways of providing them more visually engaging information. And these videos can be put on social media if we get that started, YouTube, our homepage for the Core MPO and EMPC. And we're just kind of at the start now and looking for input on other topics that we can cover that you think that you would benefit from as a board or committee member, and then also what people in the community might want to know more about what we do in our process.
Thank you. Any questions for her? Number 7 is announcements. There's only one announcement. Our next meeting will be held on April 22nd at 5:30. It'll be a virtual meeting, as this meeting is virtual. At that time, maybe we'll be hearing more information about item 4. We should skip over approval of the draft YF 2022 unified planning working, program. In any event, our meeting will next get together on April 22nd. Number 8, that deals with the other non agenda information for reference. Again, as I said, when we left item 2, we were dealing all with since that time we have not been any voting at all, and this continues that. So yeah. This is just information for us. So
yeah, non-agenda information. These are the project status report that are provided by the project sponsors and then GDOT. So you see the GDOT project status report, Chatham County project status report, status report from City of Savannah and a CAT, and also the Low Country Area Transportation Study. These are the reports. So if you have any specific questions on any of these reports or any of the projects, please send us the request, and we will coordinate it with the project sponsors to get the information for you. So we will be just providing this information so that for your reference.
Thank you. Question concerning number 16, if I may. This virtual meeting poster, is that part of your participation? Yes, reach outreach?
Go ahead, Asia. Yeah, so this is for the comprehensive plans specifically. So it's not about the participation plan, but instead the comprehensive plan that the MPC updates every few years. So we're having public hearings because we're doing a new update, and this update is important because instead of just doing Chatham and Savannah, we're doing Garden City's comprehensive plan, Pooler's comprehensive plan, and unincorporated Chatham County's comprehensive plan. So we do have some virtual meetings coming up, and this poster just kind of tells you about them. And we also discuss transportation topics there, which is why it's on this agenda too.
I see. Number 17, demographic survey. What's the Survey Monkey demographics link anyway?
So in order to understand the demographic makeup of the core MPO, I created a survey so that people can anonymously answer it. So it will be really helpful if everyone here could take the survey. It takes 30 seconds to a minute to take it. And let me also put the link in the chat box. So if you follow the link in the chat box, it'll take you straight to the survey, and it shouldn't take long to complete it all. And it will be really helpful in the participation plan and a Title VI plan when it comes to updating the demographic makeup of the core MPO.
Thank you. Any questions for her? If there are no questions, I'd like to adjourn this meeting. Please take good care of yourself, and please, by all means, be back with us on April 22nd at 5:30, when we have our next virtual meeting. This meeting is adjourned.